You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. The other day in Vietnam. How about that? The United States holding a summit in Hanoi. Okay. Who would have ever thought in your lifetime you'd see some shit like that? Anyway, nonetheless, it happened. I'm watching Trump, and he looks like he's having a good time. He looks like he's having a good time with, like, Kimbo Slice over there. So, you're watching his body language. Kim obviously speaks English. And it's like the president's having a good time. Right? Truth be told, he's probably hung out with, I don't know if he's hung out with bigger scumbags than Kim, but maybe. Right? So it's not like dealing with guys like him is going to be something different. And then it's interesting, the last press conference they had, right? If you look at the, body language, between the two of them, I don't know what happened in that relationship, but I can tell from being a body language expert, like whatever happened, like, yeah, that didn't go the way they planned it. So anyway, but you know what? I think it's good, man. Yeah, my reaction is awesome. The last thing the United States needs is to make a weak-kneed deal and screw things up even more. So I'm happy. Yeah. Where's the happy music? Yeah. Yeah, where is it? Yeah. I'm happy. We get more Michael Cohen today? Michael Cohen, man. What won't a human being do for a dollar? But yeah, I'm happy. Bad deals, man. Stay away from them. Yeah, so to me, good on the president. First of all, two things. One, again, we're not shooting missiles over Japan, right? And there's a dialogue with North Korea, right? And maybe these things take a few years to actually resolve. But once you take away those sanctions, man, you enable his behavior. So we all have good reason to be happy. Exactly. So when you get elected, what's your first job? Is it to make the country better? Yeah, bring me down, exactly. Pharrell. Is your first job to make the country better, or is it just to play the political game? I swear to God, man. You okay? Look, wait. I'm gonna stick the best earplugs you've ever had in your ears, okay? And I'm gonna keep you from listening to what they say, and I'm not going to allow you to read anything political. I'm only going to allow you to read, you know, what they do, okay? What they enact, what they actually do. And then you tell me what they're about. But, you know, I'm not going to let that get me down today. It could. I'm not going to lie if I thought about it. Because the thing that that they don't realize is that there's real people. And this is the interesting thing about, like, Nancy Pelosi maintaining power. Okay? She's got a lot of people who got elected who were sent to Washington, D.C. With a message, man. We're not cool with this stupid game, this stupid reindeer game that gets played. Okay? We are not okay with it. So we're going to elect you, but you need to go to D.C. and you need to change that, man. You need to change that. So, yeah, I don't get it. Yeah, for what it's worth, old Mac, you don't get it. There's all kinds of problems in the country, and so build for me the logical syllogism that explains, yeah, how about that already in the morning? It's only 7:08 here in California. How about build for me the logical syllogism that says we don't compromise, we don't do anything that might give them the other side momentum, even though it might be for the betterment of the country. Okay, so let me build that logical syllogism. There have to be a minor premise that has to do with compromise. And then the conclusion can't be that we're here for the betterment of the people. The conclusion is, and therefore what? We get more power. So the primary reason I'm here is to increase the amount of power for the Democratic or Republican Party. I'm not here for the betterment of the people. I'm only here for the betterment of the people within the context that it benefits my party. If it benefits the American people and it's to the detriment of my party, then I can't, or even if it's to a neutral outcome for my party and it benefits the American people, I can't be a part of that. So what's the logical syllogism? I come to Washington to serve my party. I cannot compromise with the opposition in a manner that diminishes my party. Therefore, I only compromise in a way that benefits my party. Is that the right logical syllogism? Hold on, maybe it helps if I write this down. I used to do this. I enjoyed my logic class at Consumnes River College. Yeah. I had a really good logic teacher, and I enjoyed it. Because my mother used to argue, oh my God, corporal punishment, Kathleen. A fate worse than death for her was to lose an argument. She did not like that very much. And to be honest with you, I don't either. And somebody, I'm told, like, because you never think you're wrong. And my response to that is, well, I don't argue when I'm not right. Like, why would I argue if I was wrong? See, there you go. Wait a minute. But I don't argue when I'm wrong. Why would I argue if I didn't think I was right? See, that's how you are. Like, what does that mean? Oh my God. Anywho. So, yeah, so the minor premise is in this world that we watch is once elected, I serve my party. Okay, so minor premise first is once elected, I serve my party. The second minor premise would be I only compromise. I'm writing this down just in case you don't know. I only compromise when it benefits my party. Therefore what? I think I should have started with the therefore. Therefore, that's three triangles, by the way. What's the conclusion? My ability to serve the American people is limited. Therefore, my ability to compromise is defined by what's best for my party. Both of those would be valid conclusions, right? Could I have two conclusions? Yeah, I think I can. Therefore, my ability to compromise is limited. Therefore, I can only compromise, phrased a different way. Therefore, I can only compromise when it benefits my party. Which I guess, you know, should you compromise when it doesn't benefit your party? If it benefits the American people? And I'm thinking about immigration. Because the stupid game we're playing with immigration is this, right? There's people on both sides of the issue that have voted to fund barriers, walls, I don't care what you want to call it, but they've voted to fund for border security, and now that's not even, you can't even get them to vote to fund a fraction of what they voted for in the past. Why is that? Is what we see as, I think what most Americans see is an issue that needs to be dealt with, and actually the more that gets filmed and put in front of the American people about the reality of what happens down there, the life and death that goes on down there. I mean, it's and we promote it by having our border in that state and the resulting system that we have that doesn't create a disincentive to do that, actually incentivizes you just to come and be detained. And our system is so porous that you have people that will, you know, they come repeatedly. And they're deported repeatedly. And there is, what's the consequence? I'm incarcerated and fed and housed. That's okay with me. I'll do that. I'm deported 7-8 times and they come back. So there is no disincentive. So that system creates if you watch the videos, you see the families trying to cross the river, you see the drownings, you see the human trafficking. Interesting story. Interesting headline the other day from a quote-unquote former madam was, hey, you want to stop human trafficking? Legalize sex for money. Now, I don't think that's true, although I would have to kind of do a deep dive. I would kind of do a deep dive on that. But yeah, we can't. So as a nation, we can't get two parties together, no matter who's in power, to take the appropriate action down on the border, which is you got to secure it, and then you got to do immigration reform. Can't do it. And so to me, it's going to be interesting, because the nation that elected Donald Trump, now we can negotiate and we could argue about what the true big issues are for the center of the country, the swing voters that actually elect the president. We can argue about that. But I would tell you that the election of Donald Trump is an indication of the level of anger and the fact that they're sick of Washington, D.C. Okay? They're sick of Washington, D.C. And I would tell you again, part of Barack Obama's appeal was he was not identified as a Washington, D.C. insider. Yeah, more of the same. So you've had two presidents, I think, part of their appeal, Obama and then Trump, is they're not inside Washington, D.C. human being. And so it'll be interesting to see, to bring this comment full circle, it'll be interesting to see how long Nancy Pelosi can play this us against them before the people that got elected, that there was great concern whether she would be elected as Speaker. And slowly but surely, she bent all of them to her will, which was reelect me. I'll make some kind of loose statement about, you know, transition at some point, blah, 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 blah. Okay, but I need to have my moment. And she did. But now we're stuck in the same, you know, let's burn it down and fight. And what about progress on any issue? Well, not going to happen between now and the election, is it? Because once we enter that cycle, nobody's going to do anything. So when is progress possible? The first 2 years, the first 18 months of an administration, and then it's locked down until the next election? Oh, my God. It's broke, man. It is so broke, it's a joke. So, I don't know. I don't know what reforms it. Normally, countries go down these roads that they can't fix themselves. They can't do the basic functions of government. And then and it goes that way until something bad happens to them. So on those cheery notes, yeah, but I'm happy. I think that I'm glad the president walked away from whatever was on the table. I don't think that making a deal just to save for the administration to save face, you know, is certainly not in the best interest of the United States. I don't think it's in the best interest of anybody in the region. And I am heartened by things that are going on in the region. And these are things that hearten me. One, you've seen joint U.S.-UK patrols, and hopefully those will only expand. Hopefully the Australians become part of that in the South China Sea, in the East China Sea, in the Straits of Taiwan, that you see the Australians, the Brits, the United States, the Japanese, and whoever else wants to throw a frigate or two in there, right? Look, then the message that we're sending to China is this. You will join us as part of the free nations of the world that believe in open international waters and a law-based order, right? A law-based order of the sea, of commerce. And it simply won't be defined because you say it's that way. And again, let me tell you this. The Obama administration didn't do shit about that. Strongly worded letters, right, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so that I see as a positive. I also see that behavior, and as Grant Newsham would say, who's going to join us here in about 40 minutes. Yeah, how about that? So we'll talk to Grant about these things. And to borrow a phrase from Grant, as the United States has slowly but surely stood on its hind legs relative to China and pushed back militarily and economically, what have you seen the Philippines doing? Oh, the Philippines? Yeah. They have begun to fortify an island off their coast. What? Yeah, how about that? Oh my God, the Philippines pushing back. I thought Duterte and the rest of it, I thought they were all in the pocket of the Chinese. Looks like that's not the pocket we thought it was. Indonesia has pushed back and Vietnam has pushed back. Oh, you mean it's not going to be a red future? Well, that's interesting. So I'm happy today. Yeah, I'm happy that no deal is a good deal, in my opinion. So, with that said, the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Grant Newsham is going to join us in about 39 minutes now. And we'll talk about this some more. And then I want to do a little bit of a deep dive on E.B. Sledge. Yeah. Guy who wrote With the Old Breed. So, I was doing a little research. And it came to me when I was thinking earlier this week. I started looking. I was actually looking for a piece of video. And the piece of video that I'm looking for is from the Pacific, the series The Pacific. And Sledge, at towards the end of it, he's come home from Okinawa. And he'd been with the 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. Weapons platoon from Kilo Company, whose call sign is today Sledgehammer. So anyway, so in the shots they show, like, he's struggling trying to process this, right? As anybody would. What just happened? So his father wants to go hunting with him, and I'll play the scene here in the third hour. But he's got his shotgun, and his dad parks the truck, you know, in the fields. And so they're walking down the stream bed, and his dad's really happy. I've been waiting for this for a long time. And Sledge collapses, and he starts crying. He says, I can't do this. You know, and so I was looking for that video. And I came upon other video of the actual Eugene B. Sledge talking. So I want to play some of that today. Just him in his own words. And I was talking with a friend about him. And my friend said, well, you know, and so I'll relate it back to post-traumatic winning. So I'm talking about Sledge, right? And I make the comment, I've never heard anybody senior to me look at me or look at a group of Marines and say, you've got to talk about your shit, man. You've got to talk about it. I've never heard that in my life. Here's what we hear, right? Grandpa fought in World War II. He never spoke about it. Uncle Larry, I don't know why I say Larry, but Uncle Shemp, he fought in Vietnam, and he never talked about it. Okay, so if you're a man, I guess you don't talk about it, right? That's the way it works. Okay, so I'm not talking about it. I'm a man. What, am I less of a man than those guys? No way. Okay, then I'll handle my business. I'm not talking about it either. Okay, well, that's the wrong thing to do. But Sledge and Manchester, because they were smart, right, and they knew they couldn't talk about it, so what did? They wrote books. Yeah. The sly bastards, they got around it. They got around the we don't talk about it caveat, and they wrote books. Why? So they could talk about it. So anyway, so a friend of mine, so we're talking about this, and my friend says, well, Mac, you know Sledge's story. He drank. Yeah. He spent a lot of time drunk. He spent a lot of time drunk after the war before he got there. I said, I didn't know that. I probably should know that. So Gunner's not going to be here today. I don't know what he's doing. He's doing something. But so I want to listen to Sledge in his own words. And not only I'm curious when he talks about the experience, will it be simply this was the experience, or will it be what I hope it'll be? This is not only the experience, but here's the aftermath. Here's why I wrote. And I'm curious to see what he has to say about it. So we'll find out. We'll discover that together in the third hour today. So that's the program. Again, with great happiness, the president did make a shitty deal, and North Korea's sanctions are still upon them, which I like. We have a dialogue with them, and so all of that's good. Anyway, so good morning to you with all that said. On this last day of February in 19. Good morning. And tomorrow, General Cindy's going to join us. We're going to talk about Iwo Jima. Yeah. Moderately motivated for that one. Don't miss it. Dedicated to Eugene B. Sledge, who we're going to study in the third hour. The writer of With the Old Breed, a professor, I can't remember what university in Alabama, but it's dedicated to him. The Sledgehammer.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech.
I swear, that makes me laugh every day.
But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
Come on, man, that's funny.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah,
is PTSD. It's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You got to win.
That's right. All right, check the weather in the land of winning. Sunny in 45 in Quantico, Virginia. It is cloudy in 64 at Camp Lejeune already. Damn. Foggy in 31 in Granbury, Texas. Sunny in 52 in 29 Palms. Clouds in 54 at Camp Pendleton. Nice. Can you imagine that? Those temperatures, like, within the last 2 weeks were in the 30s. Raining and with clouds in Okinawa, Japan, in the Alambar province. It is raining. How about that? And 59 degrees. Did I give the air temperature in Okinawa? 66 degrees with rain in Okinawa. 59 degrees with rain in Alambar. And in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is dark, cloudy, and 58. At the home of Auburn Radio, it is 58 degrees. Under cloudy skies, looking for a high of only 65 degrees. 63 tomorrow. Rain on Friday night and Saturday, and a high of 62. That is a look at the weather in Marineland. So, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. See what else is going on under the sun today. I think Bryce Harper should sign. I'm going to give you a little advice here, because I know Bryce Harper listens to All Marine Radio. Bryce, man, do not sign with a loser, okay? You clearly don't want to be on the East Coast. I don't blame you. Too much humidity, too many bugs, and too far away from home. So, if I was you, I would sign with the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, or the Giants, one of those three. Okay, and I would take less money to do that. Like, okay, like, what's the difference between $300 million and $240 million? Well, max, $60 million. I know, but first of all, you want to play for a team that's going to play in the postseason, so you got to go to somebody that has a record of doing that. Okay, so that shortens the list for you, bro. Unless you want to be like Manny Machado, go to San Diego, and if that doesn't go well, San Diego's got that big fat contract, right? And they got that took all the oxygen out of the room. They can't sign anybody else. They're limited. Okay? I don't know that you want to do that. Big contract, bad organization, negative. So what I would tell you is, you know, Dodgers, Giants both have traditions of winning. Now, the problem with the Giants is their management is turning over. So you got to make a value judgment there. So I'm telling you, man, go to some place where you're going to play in the postseason. That's what you're a player, man. You want to play. You want to be in. You've been playing that game since you were a little kid. All right, seventh game of the World Series, bottom of the ninth, two outs, bases loaded, Bryce Harper. You've been doing that since you were six. We all did. Don't be a dope. Life's hard. It's harder when you're stupid. So, I don't even want in a percentage of the contract. I'm giving this advice for free, so don't screw it up. More of All Marine Radio. Yeah, your full-service radio program here on a Thursday morning. Coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the ReadBoard page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting I'm letting go of all hope and soak in me.
You know, one of the coolest things about being me is getting emails from other people telling me that they are saving other people. Yeah, so I read the little blurb that Peyton said the other day on vacation and bumps into somebody, starts a conversation. I'm telling you, man, download the 10 tenets, man. The 2 commandments, the 2 goals and 8 commandments of post-traumatic winning. Yeah, but I love that. I got an email from a woman by the name of Jessica yesterday. I'd received the email earlier in the week. And then, what did I do? I emailed her back, and so we kind of emailed back and forth. She wanted to interview me. And I'm a little bit careful about being interviewed because, I'm a little bit like, who do I want to give this information to, right? So, her first name is Jessica, right? So she said, I've heard about post-traumatic winning. So yesterday I said, well, why don't you call and we'll chat for, you know, a little bit so I can understand what you want. So, you know, I can decide if I want to do it. She said, okay. So I said, well, how did you hear about this? She said, my brother's in the 2nd Marine Division. And she said, he doesn't talk about stuff like this. And he called me and he was so fired up after he saw you guys do your thing. He gave me your name. He gave me your website. He gave me the names of Mike and Josh. And he knew that I was doing research. And he said, you've got to talk to these guys. So I had a great conversation with Jessica, and lives up in the Bay Area. And, so it's just, cool stuff. And again, it's a wonderful part of my day, doing this. After we listen to Sledge in the 3rd hour, Ken Rogers is going to join me, right? And I'm going to put Rogers in Sledge's place. And I'm going to treat Rogers like I treat Sledge because they tell the same story. Okay. So, anyway. So that'll be interesting. Don't miss the 3rd hour today. It's going to be awesome. 2nd hour is going to be awesome, too. This is just an awesome program. What can I say? you know what? It is, too, man. Why would I laugh when I say that? Good question. Not a whole lot going on in the world of the Marine Corps in news, okay? How do I know that? Because the same stories are on all the different publications. Subterranean battlefield. Warfare is going underground, into the dark, into tight places. Oh, yeah? Well, you better hope nobody opens the sewers. All right. Northern border along the Arctic, not south, is what worries NORAD leaders. That's right. It's all thawing. Now, the story yesterday, right, was one of the stories yesterday was a Marine, Lance Corporal, right? The, yeah, he had posted, like, Nazi shit on Facebook or Twitter, right? Right? The shithead picture of the day today is the Corps is investigating alleged blackface video involving Marines from 3rd Marine Air Wing. This is what consumes us now. The daily stupidity of Marines. But because it touches a certain rail, right? It goes ballistic. I was reading a story yesterday, right? And it was hold on. It's a fairly long story. The headline is UC Davis professor thinks cops need to be killed. And that's in quotation marks, need to be killed. All right? And it's written by a guy named Nick Irving at UC Davis. Now, it's interesting that this professor in class can make statements, and on Twitter can make these kind of statements. And nothing's done to him. Okay. Quote, I am thankful that every living cop will one day be dead, some by their own hands, some by others, too many of old age. # let's not make any more. Yeah. Teaches at UC Davis, just outside Sacramento. Another one. People think that cops need to be reformed. They need to be killed. So anyway, this guy goes on this journey of talking to administrative people about, why does this guy still have a job here? He's publicly making statements that say cops should be killed. And then you get the whole rigmarole of, well, he's protected by tenure and by, you know, the liberal values we have that say, you know, this is a place for discourse. Wait, he's advocating for the killing. But so let me just tell you why he still has a job. The reason that he still has a job is because he said kill cops, right? If he would have said kill women, if he would have said kill blacks, if he would have said kill Jews, right? Well, maybe not Jews, okay? Jews might be the same, you know, the universe would probably accept him saying, yeah, just, we should kill the Jews, okay? Because Jews are in their own unique class as well. You can say shit about the Jews, okay? But the reason that he still has a job is because he said it about cop, right? So anyway, so this is what Marine Corps Times has become. We used to read these stories in the daily safety or the monthly safety thing that used to get put out in naval message format. And somebody, you know, on occasion would grab it. Because, I mean, who read the message traffic back in the day? That's the way the Marine Corps communicated, right? But it would be somebody, the S1 or somebody that would see it and say, hey, check it out, make a copy of it. It'd get passed around. And you would roll, right, the stupid stuff people did. Now it's Marine Corps Times, but now it's like individuals doing stupid shit. But if it touches the rail of racism, that's okay. But you could be a tenured professor at the University of California system. You could make statements about killing cops, and nothing happens to you. This is a stupid world we live in. Next headline. Corps wants to boost the LAV firepower with precision missiles or swarming kamikaze drones. Awesome. Next headline. Purple Heart vets will get disability claims moved quicker. All right. Congratulations to them, and congratulations to the VA. Well done, boys and girls. Hey, here's a story headline from yesterday. Right, another Marine is being investigated for neo-Nazi. So again, individual stupid Lance Corporal stuff is now making headlines. That's the world we live in, though. Next headline: Service chiefs to face tough questions on military housing failures. Nice. Going to get the service chiefs. They're going to get raked across the coals on March 7th. It'll be interesting to hear them sing and dance about why is this going on. And if you're listening and you know somebody that's involved in this, if you know anybody that's involved in this housing thing, either at Pendleton or Lejeune or anywhere, I would love to hear from them. So I'm looking for somebody. All right. Anyway, to do an interview with them, just what their frustration. So if you know somebody, send me contact information, and I would love to have them on the show. Large-scale closures of VA facilities could be coming sooner than expected. Here's why. My heart's hopeful. And here's why it should happen. Outsource the majority of the care that veterans get. Right? Create a VetaCare program. For the life of me, I don't understand it. We don't need a separate healthcare system as veterans. What that should be is the VA should be the Mayo Clinic of military maladies. And when I say military maladies, it would be those things unique to the military, right? Treatment for Agent Orange systems should be the Mayo Clinic of that. Treatment of burns, Mayo Clinic. Treatment of TBI, Mayo Clinic. Amputees, Mayo Clinic. All things that are service-related, combat-related maladies, right? That makes absolute sense. They should be the Mayo Clinic, right? To get your psoriasis checked, probably not. They don't need that. And it sucks, man. It sucks because they don't pay very well. And so when you go use the VA, you know, they're a provider of last resort because people that have other options use those other options. Why shouldn't all veterans have that option to go to their healthcare provider? And then they could have their veteran care homes for the indigent veteran. I just don't, anyway, Veteran Affairs version of the base closing round could start years ahead of schedule, department official told Congress on Wednesday. Under the VA Mission Act, signed into law last year, the president is authorized to support an asset and infrastructure review commission for the department in 2022 to inform the group's work. VA officials were given 3 years to perform regional market assessments across the country to determine areas where medical facilities, shortages, gluts, and other challenges. On Wednesday, VA Secretary Robert Wilkie said those assessments were delayed slightly late last year, but still could be finished within the next 12 months. If so, that could create a problematic gap between collecting that information and starting the evaluations in 2022, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, the VA shrinking its footprint. Well, that's interesting. Death of a 7-month-old at an unlicensed daycare on base. in Hawaii. A neighbor who lives near the home where the child died said the death came 4 days after she filed a complaint alleging the provider, a Navy wife, was operating an unlicensed daycare after being shut down at least 3 times by base officials who allegedly found violations. The daycare is in privatized housing on the Ala Moana military reservation, part of the U.S. Army garrison in Hawaii. The neighbor, Katie Camarillo, told Military Times that she had reported her concerns for more than a year about numerous young children crying and left unattended outside the home, citing various incidents such as children playing with a lighter, like a cigarette lighter, one child's head being stuck in playground equipment. Other neighbors also said they reported similar concerns. Let me tell you, when you have people that are calling the police because that stuff, you know people don't like to get in other people's business. When it rises to that extent, are you kidding me? And then transgender troops tell Congress they excel in the military. That's not the question. Okay, that's not the question. First of all, none of us have a right to serve in the military. Okay? You have to pass a rigorous criteria, and then it is your ability to be deployable around the world just like everybody else. Okay, so if you read the law, as long as you can do that and you're full up round, that's fine. But if you want to come on into the military and then say, look, I'm not going to be deployable for the next 5 years while I go through my pre-op stuff and my mental health stuff, and then I go through, I have a surgical remedy, come on, man, that's a joke. And if you read the policy, that's what the policy says. And I think that's fair, based on being worldwide deployable and doing what you do and doing it when you're supposed to do it. So, anywho, let me real quick, I'll go through the top 5 stories in Early Bird. Number 1, service chiefs face tough questions on military housing failures. 2, frustrated lawmakers press Pentagon for plan to fund the border wall. Yeah, Shanahan, where are you, bro? You signed up for that shit, so why don't you get out there and take that face shot? Number 3, U.S. drops demand for full accounting of North Korean nuclear program ahead of talks. That headline is now OBE. Those talks fell through. There is no agreement. Number 4, death of a 7-month-old military child. Jesus Christ. Fuels questions about unlicensed daycare. Not only unlicensed, but repeatedly turned in by neighbors. Like, are you kidding me? Why will that human being who ran that, why will they not go to jail? Number 5, India-Pakistan tensions. All the latest updates. So I talked about this yesterday, right? So India-Pakistan always seem to be tense. And they had a little dust-up. The question is, would it escalate? So yesterday, no further military action, despite both nations being on heightened alert. India is welcoming Pakistan's decision to free a captured pilot whose MiG-21 fighter was shot down in air raids this week. But top generals from the Army and the Air Force make it clear that their forces remain on high alert. Quote, we're happy that our pilot, who has fallen across the line of control, that's what the LOC is, and was in the custody of Pakistan, is being released. We are extremely happy to have him back. We want to see him back. Standing alongside him, Major General Surinder Singh Mahal of the Indian Army warns Pakistan, we are fully prepared and in a heightened state of readiness to respond to any provocation from Pakistan. In Kashmir, in the village of Bakut, just a few kilometers away from the disputed Pakistan India frontier, and an uneasy calm prevails during the day, but the nights bring sheer terror, with darkness accompanied by a furious exchange of artillery shelling. Wow. So this is by a guy named Imran Khan. But as I walk around, I notice something odd. There are no children here, no women. They have all left. Only the men remain behind. There's none of the life that you would expect a village to have. As I turn a corner, the reason becomes clear. A few hours before I arrived, an artillery shell from the Indian side had exploded just inches away from the house. The muddy crater left behind is full of metal shards, shrapnel from the shell. The trees surrounding it are battered and broken, and the house itself is pockmarked with holes where the larger parts of the shell tore through the concrete and into the house. Quote, thank God this house was empty when the shell landed. Otherwise, this was the room where the children had slept. He goes on, it's not safe for women or children, but we need to stay to safeguard our property, to show solidarity with the army, who are here to defend us. So, anyway. Wow, shelling. Interesting. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to you, Grant Newsham. We'll talk about the North Korean summit. So, whatever you do on this Thursday, I forgot what day of the week it was. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. On your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.